testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Rejoicing the heart, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey.
And I've got a title for our teaching, and that is God uses our past to move us on. God uses our past to move us on. It is amazing how God uses everything to get us to continue to move on, to move forward. I think we're all learning and have experienced that the Holy Spirit never lets us remain in one place, stuck on the fence, or whatever it is. He doesn't do that. He's ever moving us forward, leading us, guiding us. We are ever experiencing more of the love and grace and mercy of God. And that every trial and situation, that everything we go through, we experience something new of God that we hadn't before. And all this is so that he keeps us moving on, moving forward. And this is absolutely vital for the sons of God. This is absolutely important for our, not only our deliverance, but our maturity. That he keeps us moving forward. This is why he didn't allow the children of Israel in the wilderness to remain too long anywhere. Because he knows human nature. He knows that we're very good at putting our roots down. He knows that we can get so used and so comfortable in situations. I'm reminded of the eagle with her chicks. And we know the story so well that she starts to make the nest very uncomfortable for them in order that they start to learn to fly. And God, in many ways, does this with us. Well, we'll look at some scriptures here just to familiarize ourselves with what we're talking about. And, for example, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, the book of Isaiah, chapter 52 and verse 12, which says, "For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard." So we get indications that the Holy Spirit's ministry is that he not only goes before us, but he's also at the rear as well. So that means that he deals with the past. He deals with wherever we go. So not only is he in the front, but he's also in the rear as well. Behind us, in other words. And of course, we get a clear indication of this of the children of Israel when they were to cross over into the promised land. Herod is on their heel. Moses is to put out his rod to smite the waters. And we look at this in Exodus 14 and verse 19. We'll actually go from verse 18. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honour for myself over the Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. And this is ready for them to move forward as Moses strikes the Red Sea and it parts. And so this is what God does with us, both individually and corporately. He's not only in front, but he is also behind. Now, why is he behind? Well, in this case, he's staying behind. He's at the rear of Israel because he's going to destroy their enemies. And so when they cross over the sea, again, Moses will strike the sea and the waters will come over and destroy the armies of Pharaoh, which indicates he's also at the rear, fighting the enemy. So he's not only in front, preparing the way, but he's also in the rear, fighting the enemy and destroying him completely. We tend sometimes to forget this. And this is why God keeps us moving forward. He won't let us stay in any situation, because if we do, the enemy will destroy us. We are in a spiritual battle. We have an enemy on our tail who's there to try and destroy us. And so we find that God is also behind us, and he's going to deal with the enemy once and for all. Because if he doesn't deal with the enemy, it's going to hinder us from moving forward. Because if you are aware there's an enemy on your heel behind you, that is going to hinder you from keeping your eyes on Jesus, because you're going to start looking back to see where the enemy is, or is he coming nearer? And we're told that we're to keep our eyes on Jesus. We're to look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. I'm sure a lot of us have experienced where maybe at night or late at night, when you find yourself walking on your own and it's all dark, you start to walk a bit hastily, you start to go faster, and you start to look behind because fear says, oh, there's somebody following you, or there's somebody near on your tail. I know we've all done it. Well, there's the analogy. And the Lord says, I'm at your rear. I'm behind you. You don't need to look back. You don't need to worry. Keep your eyes on me moving forward. And saints who keep looking behind cannot move forward. And this is a lot of the trouble that's in the house of God. A lot of our brothers and sisters, sadly, we know a lot of them, but we find they don't mature. They don't move on. They're not growing in the Lord. And here is the problem. A lot don't want to come out of their denominational because they're comfortable there. They're not experiencing God who is behind them, dealing with the enemy as they go forward. So their eyes are not really fully looking to Jesus. But we are FGA. How do we know? Because God's addressing this today, reminding us, showing us how we move forward. And so we see that God is not only in control of not only the front, but also the rear as well. He's fully in control in the front and in the rear. And that's why we don't often look to the past. But occasionally, God will remind us of the past. Occasionally, God will remind us from where he's brought us out from. Occasionally, God reminded the children of Israel that they were brought out of Egypt, a nation. And there's a reason why he does this. For example, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 15. That which has already been and what is to be has already been. And God requires an account of what is past. So he does. So he also requires an account of the past. And each of us, when we stand before the Lord, will have to give an account of the past. Were we in faith? Were we trusting him? Were we looking to him? Were we obeying him? Yielded to him? So God is going to do that. And so he's the God of the rear to help you so that you won't be condemned or you won't lose your rewards. It's not about losing your salvation. It's simply about rewards. So he's also the God of the rear behind us so that we can have these rewards when we enter heaven and not lose them because of the past, because of unbelief, disobedience. This is why we make so much of this, brothers and sisters, because God has drawn you out, separated, sanctified you as overcomers for great rewards to be given in heaven. That is the Father's heart to give the bride who makes herself ready. And so we need to understand that God is also at the rear for these very things. But it's so easy for fear and unbelief that can hold us back. That anxiety will always get us to remember our yesterdays. That's the nature of anxiety and fear. It will always get you to think back or of a situation or when something happened. Some of us still can't embrace yet the promises of God because we're still in fear that it didn't work last time. I thought I was in faith. I thought I took that step of faith and look what happened. Nothing happened. It was a problem. It was disaster. Well, where is the God of the rear? Can he not deal with that? Does he not deal with that? Does he not deal with your slip-ups? Areas of unbelief, or if we've missed it, can he not deal with that? He deals with that for the very purpose so that you're not held in fear and anxiety that's stopping you from moving on and believing. Well, I'm not going to step out the boat. I did it last time, and boy, did I sink. So when the opportunity comes again, to be able to step out of the boat because the Lord says come, you're not going to be able to because that fear and anxiety holds you back. Well, friends, I've got good news to you. We've just read it. He's there to to deliver the past. He's there to deal with the enemy who's on our tail. But the question is, do we believe it? So are we going to let those things where sometimes it went wrong, are we going to let those fester and hold us in fear, anxiety, unforgiveness? That's why the devil likes to hold you in unforgiveness. Because unforgiveness always holds to the past. And when the trials come, up comes the past. And the unforgiveness and the resentment. Because they're not experiencing the God of the rear, who's also delivering, who's also behind. The sins of yesterday will always hinder our walk of today with the Lord. And thank God for the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin and unbelief for that very purpose. Not that we abuse or misuse it, but it is for that very purpose, so that we can move on and walk with God. If God doesn't cleanse us of our sins and shortcomings, we won't be able to walk with him. As he is in the light, so we are in the light. We need that light to walk with the Lord. That is how Israel walked. The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Moving with God. But we have to remember also that he is the God of yesterday. That he uses the past to bring about our spiritual growth for the future. He's the God of eternity. The past, today, the future. There's no time with God. So he uses the past. That's why it says in Romans 8 that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. There it is. He's using everything. Both the past, the present, the future. And he reminds us sometimes of the past in order to protect us for the future and our future walk. This is how we grow in wisdom and knowledge and understanding. He uses the past, those things that we learn from, so that when we face future things, we have the past as an experience. And God has done that in you and I. So our security, our faith is in the Lord. He goes before us. And he keeps watch so that we don't make mistakes of the past. And that's why he's the God of the rear guard as well, for that very purpose. He doesn't want you keep making those same mistakes. We have to grow up, mature. And so he's also at our rear in order for that very purpose. And God, after all, is the only one who can deal with the past so that we can have a conscience that's clean, uncondemned. If you're all the while condemned, in bondage, it's a clear sign that you're not dealing with the past. You're not letting God deal with the past in your life. And sadly, there are a lot of Christians who suffer with this. That's why he says in Isaiah 52 and 12, you shall not go out with haste. So as we are facing this new year, if the Lord tarries, Let us not be in haste or impulsive, but wait on the Lord, knowing he is here, that he's also the rear of me. He's behind me and in front of me for the purpose that I can go forward in faith and in confidence. This is why you can walk by faith and not trust in the arm of the flesh, brothers and sisters, for this very purpose that we're just reading here. For you shall not go out with haste. In other words, he's not going to rush you. If you are preparing for a step of faith, or you're preparing in faith through a physical trial, he's not going to rush you in that. He's going to prepare you so that you can stand by faith and believe and confess the promises of God. Why? Because he dealt with the past. He dealt with those fears, that unbelief that's hindered you before. You're meeting the God of today now by faith, who's in front, leading and guiding you and I. Brothers and sisters, we're dealing with the sovereignty of God now in this. And this is why at times we're missing this, because we're not experiencing the real sovereignty of God. Yes, we know him as Jesus. We know him as our Messiah. But he's also the sovereign God who deals with the past, the present, the future. So we wait on him. We're not in haste, because we know he's also our rear. He's behind me as well, gently moving me forward in confidence, in faith. And we know that going forward will always have obstacles, but you have the past to help you. And that is it. Every obstacle that you're facing, and we're all facing obstacles, the Lord's moving us forward because he dealt with the past. He's dealt with those obstacles before. And you've got through. And you will get through this time as well. You know you will. It's just the enemy becomes so vocal. What does it say in Proverbs 16 and verse 9? Proverbs 16 and verse 9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So the man may prepare what he wants or what he wants to do, but ultimately, it's the Lord who directs our steps. And thank God that he does. That's what I want him to do with my life, and I'm sure with yours as well, and with FGA, that he directs our steps. Every footstep is divinely placed in his. How about Psalm 37? Psalm 37, verses 23-24. Psalm 37, 23-24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. There you are, you know that one very well. So it might appear at times as though you're falling, but you won't. You won't go under. He has you firmly in his hands, because he's been dealing with the past in your life so that you can move forward and move on with him. How about Psalm 40? Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. He heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. Again, a psalm you know so well. But the psalmist says, I wait patiently on the Lord. He's not in a rush. Doesn't need to be, because God is also behind as well. And he's waiting so that the Lord hears his cry. He says, he brought me out of a horrible pit. That means a terrible situation. Awful, an awful experience when he brought me through. Out of that miry clay. Miry clay means that you're sinking in that clay. Slowly going under. And it seems there's nobody there to save you. And just about as you to go under, there are the arms that pull you out. He sets my feet upon a rock. Notice the difference from the miry clay to the feet upon a rock. Well, our feet are always upon the rock, but sometimes our trials feel like we're going down in that miry clay. And he establishes my feet. So he not only puts our feet upon the rock, which of course is Jesus Christ, but he establishes them as well. Your feet, your journey, your moving forward is established. It means it's divinely planned of God. He has put a new song in my mouth. And that's what he does. And when we come out of a trial, a real testing, we find we sing with a new song. We sing with a new spirit. We're revived. That's what he does. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. And they do. That's why it puts the enemy to flight when we praise and worship God. The enemy doesn't like it. So we're learning, aren't we, then, that God is not only in front of us, but he's behind us as well at the rear. And that he deals with the past. He deals with our shortcomings or when we have sinned or areas of unbelief. He's there behind as well as in the front, dealing with the past, dealing with the enemy who's on our tail. So that we can confidently, as we look to the Lord Jesus, move forward. But you can't move forward confidently looking to him unless you are aware that he's the God of the past, the God of yesterday, and dealing with our shortcomings, dealing sometimes with the mess that we've made. You cannot fully look to Jesus and continue to move forward if you are not aware that he's dealing with the past as well. He's behind me also. I think many Christians don't understand this one. They're, all you hear is just looking to Jesus, and rightly so. But he's also at the rear, behind. And when we start to experience that, then we will begin to move with him. Because he's the God that's moving forward. He never remains long in any situation, and he won't, because he knows what we're like. We'll put our roots down, and we have to remember we're simply sojourners passing through. This world is not our world. This world is not our home. You don't belong to this world. You're just passing through. And we need to really learn that one. Because if we learn that one, this deals with a lot of idolatry and unbelief in our lives. And why we still trust so much in the arm of the flesh. God is working to get us kingdom minded. To get us heavenly minded. To look to the home, the place that he's prepared for us. This is why he said, I go and prepare a place for you, for in my Father's house are many mansions. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to prepare us for that. And yet we find ourselves still so bound. We find ourselves taking this world so, so seriously. We need to read the book of Revelation. We need to read what Jesus said in Matthew 24. What is happening and will happen in the end. It's speeding, heading rapidly towards the final judgment. So why do we let it affect us, depress us? The Lord is trying to deliver us from the way of the world, the spirit of this age. You're not of it. You're of another spirit. Your life is filled with the Holy Spirit. You experience the God of the rear as well as the front. He's behind, he's present, he's future, he's all around. I believe there's a great deliverance that is needed in the house of God to purge out the worldliness, the dependence still in this world from professing believers. It needs to be purged. Because this world will let you down. Whatever you put your hands to, if God is not in it, it will let you down. It will be a disappointment. Only the Lord can bless and fulfill. Only the blessings and the gifts of God can have that eternal fulfillment in our lives. This is why the Lord came so heavily on the children of Israel every time they turned to idols. We are infested with idols in this world. And that is why he's working that deliverance in us, so that we don't depend on them, trust in them. Now God blesses, of course he does. Our Heavenly Father is a gracious, loving, merciful God, a generous God. But he's only going to give to us when our hearts and lives are ready to receive it. There are many things still God wants to bless and give us, but he can't yet. He withholds them at the moment, because if he gives them now, they'll become idols in our lives. So there's the wisdom of God. But we don't give up. We still press in. We still believe in the promises of God. Why? Because God's also working in the rear, behind. He's not only in front, but he's behind as well. So that you learn from the past. And if you've made mistakes, you learn from them. If you've fallen short, you learn from it, because you have the blood of Jesus that cleanses you and I. You know, we know that this walk as Christians so often looks negative at times and impossible. Well, in fact, it is impossible. It can't be achieved. It can't be done in the natural. But unless we let the past and the rest go, we will never step out for the future. And I believe the Christian church has got to start to believe and prepare to step out for the future while the Lord still tarries. Because she is bound in the past. She's bound in her traditions, her securities. And the Lord won't let us do that. The same as the eagle with her chicks. There's a time when those young eagles have got to start to fly. And so she makes that nest very uncomfortable for them. And starts to remove all the security, all the comfort, so it becomes prickly. And in the end, they take their first flight. because that is what an eagle is to do. It is created and made to fly. That is its nature. And brothers and sisters, you have been born again, filled with the Spirit, to move and walk with God. To hear today what the Spirit is saying to the church. Not living in the past history, past revivals, but hearing the God of today now, so that we can continue to move and walk with Him. And that is why He works behind us and in front of us. Let's remind ourselves again what Isaiah says here. For you shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear guard. The same as He moved with the children of Israel, the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, so He's the same God who moves with us, keeping us moving forward. Why does He keep us moving forward? Because there's an enemy. And if we don't move forward, the enemy will come and devour. And so He keeps us moving forward, always one step ahead of the enemy, so that we can triumph and overcome. But don't look back like Lot's wife did, because her heart was still there in Sodom and Gomorrah, and you know the story, she turned into a pillar of salt. Let the God who also works behind work that deliverance, deliver you from the things where you still trust in the arm of the flesh. Let Him sever and cut it away by the sword of the Spirit, so that you can move forward with the Lord as we see the promised land ahead of us. Heavenly Father, we thank You for speaking to us. Thank You, Lord, that You love us, and You help us and You encourage us. Lord, we know that we cannot do this in ourselves, and we need the precious Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and comfort us and to speak to us. Lord, we want to move with You. We want to live for Jesus today, not yesterday. Today, now. And to hear what You're saying today and experience You today. But Lord, we know that You deal with the past. We have to learn from the past and our experiences in order that we can move on with You. And so, Father, I pray that You will bless, preserve and keep my brothers and sisters. Bless their going out and their coming in. Keep them whole in mind, body and spirit. Father, may they experience to walk with You each day, that their lives will become more and more supernatural. The God of miracles, seeing Your mighty hand working each day, but also, Father, that they may be lights in this world of darkness, and that You will give them the words, the unction of the Spirit, to share the good news of the gospel, that Jesus is alive today. And so, Lord, I thank You for our meeting until we assemble again. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, He is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. From all evil, He will keep your